about you, but I am thankful that one day death's river is going to run dry. There'll be no death over yonder. Bless his name. I'm glad there's a place called heaven, and it's my home. Hallelujah. Those gates will swing open wide. It may not do anything for you, but it is a wind in my clock. Hallelujah. I appreciate that good singing tonight, but it's come time for preaching. I do appreciate Brother C.T. Townsend and the message God gave to him tonight. Oh, how he touched his servant. I appreciate Brother Mike Bagwell. Oh, how God used him last night in the service. And I'm going to ask him to come on and preach to us tonight. You listen to what God has to say to your heart. He'll take the word of God and just break it down and apply it to your life and to mine. And I hope it gets in you and it stirs you to do something for God. I love this man of God, and I appreciate you. Love you. Preach to us. Amen.
Last night, we were in a paragraph of Scripture, book of Colossians. I wanted to enjoy just a few verses together. Tonight, God has laid a chapter on my heart. This may be too big a task for an evening service, but I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to it all day. We're going to go to the Psalms. You'll open your Bible to the book of Psalms. And there are in the Psalms a group of those beautiful poems, hymns, that are called Messianic Psalms. They're all written about 1,000 B.C. before our Lord in his humanity lived on earth. But they describe him in beautiful detail. They're called Messianic because they describe the Messiah. I got to make an announcement. Jesus is the Messiah. So tonight we're going to be looking at Jesus from Psalm 22. I don't think I gave the number, did I? Jesus from Psalm 22. Would you find it in your Bibles? Now, normally I would read the text. I shall not do that tonight. We've got 31 verses, and time is of the essence. So I'm just going to share some truths with you out of Psalm 22. You got to keep in mind all the way through this message, Jesus. Jesus. I personally believe it's all about Jesus. I don't know if I can prove it or not, but that is the conviction. I believe Jesus thought it was all about Jesus. Look at verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe I've read those words somewhere else in the Bible. I believe one day they flowed from the lips of our Savior as he died on Calvary. Do you know what he did? He took Psalm 22 and personalized it, individualized it in his life. We are told in two Gospels that as Jesus hung on the cross, as he hung there paying our sin debt, that all of a sudden about the noon hour, maybe that's the best way of expressing, when the sun begins to refuse to shine, Jesus uttered these words. Here's what I'm saying. As he began as he began the ordeal of making our sin payment. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 1. Now I want you to look at verse 31. The end of verse 31, in fact. And I shall read just those last few words. It's in your Bible. You've got it in front of you. That he hath done this. Do y'all see those words there? That he hath done this. Brother Jamie, that is one verb in Hebrew, and the verb is spelled A-S-A-H, asah, that he hath done this. Now, we're going to go from Hebrew to Greek, and asah, he hath done this. This is the way it comes out in Greek. Somebody smile at me. It is finished. It is finished. Do you know what I believe? And I believe it from the bottom of my heart. How many of you believe Jesus knew his Bible pretty good? I mean, how many of you believe that of all people, he obeyed it, he internalized it, he meditated on the Word of God? I believe on Calvary. We know he hung there 6 hours. I believe on the cross of Calvary, Jesus meditated on the Word of God from the moment that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, to the moment he said, it is finished. Does that make any sense? Does that sound like that might be our Savior? And I think I know what he meditated. I think I know the scripture that was on his heart. I believe for those hours he went through Psalm 22 verse by verse by verse. I want to live meditating on the Word of God. My Savior died meditating on the Word of God. Don't we have a wonderful Savior tonight? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Boy, you could get into some doctrine right there. And I had best not, because there are 31 verses. Every one of them's got a nugget in it here tonight. My God, why? How many of you believe the Father really forsook his Son as Jesus died on that cross? I thought more of you would agree. He did forsake his Son on that. Why? Why? I think y'all will go here with me. I'm going to say it whether you do or not, but I think you will. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, in fact, forever, no sin in him. No sin in him. He is the spotless, eternal Son of God. But at some point in the midst of that ordeal, I think it's right about here. My God, the Father, Isaiah 53 tells me about it, poured on Jesus, say amen if you believe it, the iniquity of us all. Preacher, can I stand here and say, I believe he died for your sin. I believe he died for my sin. I believe he died for you, the iniquity of us all. And I believe at that moment, when Jesus became the sin bearer, Habakkuk says, God's too holy. God's too holy to look upon sin. And when Jesus took my sin and your sin, God had to turn his head. God had to turn his face. I'm going to say it right now. It'll come up in a verse if I can get to it. He died alone. He died alone for you and me. Can I say it again? It's the refrain of my whole sermon. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. Why hast thou forsaken me? Y'all okay? Let's go a little further into our psalm. This is delightful. I got a field of diamonds in front of me. And more diamonds than we could talk about if we was here till midnight. And I've just got to let the Holy Ghost show me what to throw out at you. What to fling over this way or over that way. Oh, look at verse 2. God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, and I am not silent. Somebody, some smart aleck already said it. Said, that can't be Jesus dying on the cross day and night. Why, he's only up there 6 hours. When he was hanging on that cross for 6 hours, part of the time the sun was shining and part of the time the sun was not shining. Isn't the Bible an amazing book? Isn't the Bible an accurate book? Hallelujah. Jesus paying our sin debt is so intimate. It is such a terrible ordeal. God cut the lights out. He would not let the world look on. He will not let the Pharisees look on. That is an intimate transaction. Have I got some good news? Jesus got it done. Jesus got it done. He died for you and me. And if you've been saved, your sins are gone. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. And I told you I'll have to skip about, and I'm certainly going to do that. Verse number 6. Let me read it. I guess that's the best thing to do. But, no, I need you to help me. But Jesus says, I am a, you tell me what he said.
Worm.
I am a worm. I want to make a statement or two, see if you're, he's the darling son of God. He's the creator of the world. He's the coming king. I am a worm. Wonder what Jesus is trying to tell us. Preacher, I want to talk about that worm a few minutes. The Hebrew word there for worm, listen to me, is T-O-L-A, tola. T-O-L-A, tola. Preacher, what does it mean? Brilliant revelation, worm. But it's not the only word for worm in the Old Testament. This is a particular word for worm. And Jesus says, I am a worm. Oh, I want to, preacher. Tola, that word, the rabbis tell us the root of that word means something like this, red. R-E-D, red. I can do better than that. Scarlet. Amen. Crimson. Yeah. I am a worm. Amen. Isn't that amazing? The tola worm, though it is not native, I read today researching, it is not native to Israel. The countries around Israel did have those worms, and they would be imported to Israel. Oh, my. The worm had to be imported. Anybody seeing that? I mean, the Holy Ghost just showed me that. That ain't in my notes, praise God. Can I tell you, he's imported. He came from a foreign land. He came from another country. He's God. He's God. But God became flesh. Hallelujah to him. And get these little worms, put them in a saucer, in a crucible, and they would crush them. They'd kill them to the point they liquefied them. And all you got is a red, scarlet, crimson paste. Hear me. And it became, in their economy, in their culture, the strongest, most permanent, indelible dye. D-Y-E, known to mankind. They dyed the high priest's robes with that scarlet red. They dyed the curtains of the tabernacle with that scarlet red. Hey, could I tell you something? I read it the other day. Said if you ever got any of that stuff on you, said you ain't never going to get it off. Said it is absolutely... Are y'all telling me? If you ever get any of it on you, you ain't never going to get it off of you. Aren't you glad you got washed in the blood of the Lamb one day? And the devil can't get it off, neither. Indelible. Indelible. Red. Glory to God. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the blood of Jesus. I want to preach the blood of Jesus. I want to magnify the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. If I go to heaven, if you go to heaven, it'll be through the blood. Thank God. And I know which seminary it came from. And it spread. They're saying it's not the blood of Jesus that's sin, that saves. They're saying it's the death of Jesus that saves. On the surface, that might sound palatable, but I want to tell you something. I hope I get it. It is the blood. It is the blood. And there's some good men. I'm not a smart ass. No, it's the death. I got not one verse of scripture that says if they stone Jesus to death, I could be saved and go to heaven. Y'all got a verse like that? I don't have it. I don't have a verse of scripture, Brother Ron, that says if they hung him in a tree by the neck till he was lifeless, that I could be saved and go to heaven. I don't know that verse. But I got me a dozen verses. I say I got me a dozen verses that say that blood of the Lamb, that pierced Savior, that darling Son of God, and His blood is shed for me. I can be washed. I can be cleansed. I can be saved. I think I'll just say hallelujah to God. The Tola worm. I am a worm. Are y'all okay? Can I tell you one more thing about the Tola worm? I looked it up. You know, you can hear things that preach pretty good, but I wanted to be sure that science would back me up, and I found enough research material to feel like I'm accurate. The Tola worm never dies, I'm talking about in nature, never dies anywhere but on a tree. Never known one to die anywhere but on a tree. Find that tree, climb up that tree, and that's where they choose to die. They didn't murder my Savior. They didn't massacre my Savior. He chose, cause He loves you, cause He loves me. He chose to die on that tree for our salvation. Said that little worm crawled up that tree and with a God-given adhesive fixes himself to that tree. And there he will die. Here's how it happens. At the moment of death, he will split open. He will split open. He will be pierced. His body laid asunder. Reminds me of that sword, spear they stuck to my... And when he does that, that red, scarlet, crimson blood will flow out all from his dying body and down that tree. I shouldn't go here, but I am. Somebody asked me the other day, where do you think the blood of Jesus is? Well, Brother Bagwell, you just said it went down the tree. Some say it went down into the earth, big word today, and it's biodegradable, that it went into the earth and it passed. I want to make an announcement. It's the biggest word I know. Jesus' blood ain't biodegradable. Anybody believe his blood is eternal? Anybody believe his blood? Anybody believe his blood is incorruptible? Anybody believe his blood? His blood. Thank God, his blood cannot decay. That little worm is dying. That crimson blood flowing down the tree. And at the moment of death, as that little worm splits open, it gives birth to its young. It gives birth to its young. I read those little creatures crawl out all around that. You say, preacher, you lost me there. Let me tell you how I got born. No, that's it. Let me tell you how I got born again. That cross, that worm, that Jesus, that Savior, that blood, that vicarious today. Glory to God. I crawled out of Calvary. I got birth by means of the old rugged cross. Hallelujah today. I am a worm, said my Lord. I got to say it again. It's too repetitive. What a Savior, what a Savior, what a Lord he is. Let me get my, I got my verses on my card here. There's so much. Verse 11, preacher, I wish I could read that verse. I'm respectful enough, certainly not going to do it. Verse 11, Father, be not far from me. For trouble is near, and there is none to help. There is none to help. Remember what it said to the disciples? They all forsook him and fled. Nobody stood by. Reminds me of what Paul said. Only Luke is with me. But it's worse than that with Jesus. Nobody is with him. Does anybody believe this? When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you that in Scripture in just a minute. Now, another picture of Calvary. Here's Jesus dying. I love this because we get into the mind of our Lord as he dies. He thinks Scripture. He lives Scripture. He's looking out on Calvary, and look what he sees in verse 12. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. Somebody mark bulls of Bashan. Look at verse 13. He sees a ravening and roaring lion. Bulls, lions. Look at verse 16. Dogs have compassed me. Dogs have compassed me. Bulls, lions, dogs. And then if you look down at the end of verse number 21, unicorns, unicorn. All these are enemies of our Savior. Those bulls of Bashan, they're the strongest. They're the most brutal. They're the meanest bulls in the country. And here they are charging our Lord, trying to do harm to our... And that lion, I'm absolutely convinced that lion is the devil. That lion is a set roaring lion. That's the devil. And here comes the devil. He's coming after Jesus, wanting to do him harm, wanting to thwart God's good plan. And them dogs, that's a bunch of Gentile dogs. They hate him. They're cussing him. Y'all see what he sees? All these enemies. And the unicorn means one horn. Unicorn, that thing, it'll gore him. It'll hurt him. Oh, I got to give you some good news. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus took on those bulls of Bashan. He took on the roaring lion, the devil. He took on the barking dogs of all the lost, filthy Gentiles. He took on that unicorn with that dangerous. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that's 4-1. They got our Lord outnumbered. All I can say is this, poor lion, poor bull, poor dog, poor unicorn. Because when it was all over, when the dust settled, I need an amen. Jesus won the battle. Jesus is conqueror. Jesus is victor for you and for me. Hallelujah. I'm taking just a few minutes detour here. I hear so many preachers say and preach, good men, I'm not the final authority, but I got to share something with you based on what I just read. They say, preacher, when our Lord went to Gethsemane, went to the cross of Calvary, Father, let this cup pass from me. They say Jesus got cold feet. Jesus began to chicken out. I shouldn't use a colloquial term. And he was asking the Father for another way around the cross of Calvary. I like what you're saying to me. I don't believe a word of that. You'll never convince me Jesus turned away. You'll never convince me Jesus got scared. Well, preacher, what in the world do you think was going on? Can I take a couple minutes here? That's where Luke says his sweat became as drops of blood. Now, Luke's a doctor. I guess Luke knows blood when he sees it. I read in a medical journal, if you're ever under such intense passion, pressure, stress, that your sweat becomes blood, you are close to death. You are very near a mortal stroke. How many of you believe the devil, if he could have, would have killed Jesus before Jesus got to the cross? Seemed to me like he tried to kill him when he was a little boy, when Herod sent that assassination squad. First sermon Jesus ever preached, they got so mad at him, they tried to push him over the cliff, but he walked through the crack. The devil don't like Jesus none. I believe in Gethsemane, the devil was trying to kill Jesus right then and right there, and his sweat became as drops of blood, as evidence he was that near death. Preacher, here's what I believe. I believe Jesus said, oh Father, no, I've come this far. Don't let me die here. Don't let me die a few hours short of the cross. That's why I've come. That's my goal. I want to die so a bunch of sinners can get born again by the marvelous grace of an almighty, not my will, but thine be done. And then Hebrews says he prayed that prayer and he was heard. He was heard. God heard that. God answered that prayer. God spared the life of Jesus. God let him live to the cross, and he died the death. He died a vicarious death. He died right. God gave him an A+. He died, and that's why we're going to heaven tonight. All those enemies gathered around him, and he came out victorious. I don't want to kill the service. I just had to share. Hey, there's something else I want to tell you. You say, I don't know. I have to think about that. Bagwell just said about Gethsemane. I've always thought the other. Isaiah 50. I can't talk about it. I'll just say this. In Isaiah 50, God the Father speaks. God the Son speaks. And God the Holy Ghost speaks. Here's what Jesus says in Isaiah 50, 700 years before. They have smitten my back. This is Jesus at Calvary. They have smitten my back. And Jesus begins to describe the suffering that he's going to endure on Calvary. And then he says this. He knows. How many of you believe Calvary was a battle? How many of you believe the greatest war of the ages was raging on that hill of Golgotha that day? Jesus said in Isaiah 50, "Who will contend with me? When I go to Calvary, who is my enemy?" Look it up, Isaiah 50. And Jesus said, "Who will contend with me? Let him come near to me." Now, does that sound like he was scared? Jesus said, "Who's my enemy?" He knows it's the devil. "Who's my enemy?" And Jesus looks at the enemy and says, "Bring it on. Bring it on." He's not scared. He's not. That's my Savior. I say it for the fifth time. We got a wonderful Lord tonight. Oh, my. Reckon there's some more here I can dig out real quick. And I'm watching my timer over here. You say, "Preacher, how do you know somebody dying on the cross here?" Look at verse 16, the end. "They pierced my soul." I should have started with this. "They pierced my hands and my feet." That's somebody dying on an old rugged cross. It's not somebody. That's our Savior dying. Everything up through verse number 21 is sorrow, pain, agony, roaring, battle. Oh, boy. How many of you, there is a popular radio/TV in-print preacher saying this. He's saying, "Jesus didn't get it all done on the cross. There was still a bit of our redemption to be accomplished." They're preaching this. And so Jesus, when he died, had to go to hell. And he's not talking about the Psalm 16 quotation. He had to go to the flames of the devil's hell. That's what he's preaching. And finish suffering our sin payment there. Y'all did pretty good a minute ago. I don't believe a word of that neither. This preacher said it was all God Almighty could do to get Jesus out of the clutches of the devil, to get him out of hell in order to raise him on the third day. I'll tell you what, we just learned God's an omnipotent God. He's an all-powerful God. A devil ain't no match for my God. Amen. I don't believe any of that. None of it. Could I? I'm getting ahead of myself. The last line of verse 31, "It is finished. It is finished." You know what? When Jesus got off that cross, it was done. Amen. Uh-oh. Let this come off. It's what happened on Calvary. Thank you, sir. Jesus hung there, bleeding, dying, big word, propitiating our sin until the moment the sin debt was paid. It is finished. Till the moment the sin debt was paid. And when the sin debt was paid, the load lifted. God, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Watch. At the first, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's in fellowship with God. "Father, forgive them." Our text. My God, why has that?" He can't even call him Father. My God, why has that forsaken?" God has forsaken him, son. That's when Jesus is paying the sin debt. At the end, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Could I make an announcement? God's back. God's back. He's renewed fellowship with us. What does that mean? Jesus paid the sin debt. Jesus paid it all. He finished the task. He didn't have to go to hell. Thank God. He's a hell-proof Savior. Hell's prepared for the devil. And what a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior, Lord. to verse 21. It's all suffering. Look what happens at the end of verse 21. I must hurry. At the end of verse 21. For thou hast heard me. Am I making that up or is that in y'all's Bibles? For thou hast heard me. Brother Jamie, sin debt's been paid. God's obligation to his son and the son to his father has been absolutely fulfilled. And Jesus says, Father, you've heard me. You've answered me. Lord, you've released me. Are y'all with me? Thou hast. Everything to verse 21 is down, discouraging, suffering. Watch verse 22. Watch verse 23. What I'm saying, everything after Father, thou hast heard me, it's upbeat, it's praise, it's encouraging. I'll show you verse 22. This is what Jesus does once our sin debt is paid. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Let's read the rest of the verse. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. How many of you believe Jesus is in heaven? How many of you believe he's in the right hand of God? How many of you believe we're leaving here one day, we're going to go be with him? And then I'll declare my name unto my brethren. That word declare is tantamount to the word preach. I believe when we get to glory, we're going to have one more grand meeting. It'll be like a camp meeting. And preacher, it won't be you. And preacher, it won't be you. And you good men of God, I wonder who the preacher's going to be. I will declare my Father. It's going to be the real preacher. It's going to be the darling Son of God. I'll declare thy name. Father, I want to tell them you've been faithful. I want to tell them you never let me down. I want to tell them you kept your word. I want to tell them all how great thou art. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, you'll say amen when he's up right soon. And so will I. But that's not all. look at verse 22. And in the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. Look at verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Watch me. I'm just going to allow 2 or 3 seconds of silence. When we get to glory, when we get in that meeting over there, the Son of God's going to mount the pulpit. He's going to preach a sermon on the glory of God and the faithfulness of God. And after I declare, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. That preaching service, I need an amen, is going to turn into a praise service. Well, I wonder who'll get it started. You know, somebody's got to kick these things off. I wonder who got to be a spark plug. I wonder who it'll be. Will it be one of you men? Will it be? I'll tell you who's going to get it started. The Lord Jesus himself. Some of us sit like a knot on a log while people are praising God. We just sit around like, old Vance Havner used to say, we sit around like wooden Indians when we ought to be hooping and hollering like Indians on the warpath trying to defeat the devil. But when Jesus gets to praising, when Jesus gets loose, when he gets to running the streets of glory, when he gets to magnifying his Father, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to fall in line. I'm going to get in on it. I want to run all over heaven with him. I want to lift my hands. I want to glorify the Father. I want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his good name. Magnify, uplift my Savior. And who's doing it? The precious Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that a wonderful Savior we've learned? Maybe one more thing. I'm at 37 minutes. Okay? You say, why are you asking him? He's the moderator. That's why I'm asking him. Verse 26. This will probably have to be the last one. The meek. You got to get saved, you got to get humble. Meek people are willing to say they know. The meek, in light of Calvary, the cross, the pierced Savior. The meek shall, I need that next verb. Some of you are with me. The meek shall do what?
Eat.
Say it again.
Eat.
A little louder.
Eat.
Eat and be satisfied. You say, preacher, why? The psalmist is mixing metaphors. I wouldn't get too worried about that. At the cross of Calvary, we're going to eat and be satisfied. Y'all are spiritually minded people. I think I can say this and not have to explain it for 5 minutes. I've been eating at Calvary for years. I hadn't got enough of it yet. I find Calvary to be meat to my soul, nourishing, uplifting to my heart. Anybody had a good meal at Calvary lately? Anybody? I'll go home tonight and ponder the tola worm. I'll go home tonight and ponder my Savior who paid my sin debt. They'll eat and be satisfied. Oh boy. It's called the peace offering. There are 5 Old Testament offerings in Leviticus 1 through 7. Can't talk about them. The whole burnt offering, the meal offering, meat offering, the trespass offering, the sin offering. The middle one, get that, is the peace offering. Let me tell you something about the peace offering. That old sinner, that old erring Jew, he'll bring his little innocent lamb. It'll be slain. Blood will be shed. It'll be offered on the old rug. This, Jeremy, this is the only offering like this. The meat and the peace offering. God gets his share. You know what God's share is? The fat. The fat will be burned and waft upward. It is a sweet-smelling offering. God gets to eat something at the peace offering. There's a priest over here officiating. The priest gets to eat something at the peace offering. Let me tell you what the priest gets. He gets the shoulder and he gets the breast. Well, I don't understand that. Strength and love. Strength and love. And then no other offerings like it. God gets something, the priest gets something, and the old sinner, the old low-down sinner, gets to sit down at the table with God the Father. The priest. Jesus is our great high priest. I get to sit down at the table with God the Father and God the Son, and I get to munch and nourish myself and eat from the table of the grace of God. If that's not a marvelous picture, I don't know what. We come to the cross. God the Father's eating. He's satisfied in the death of his boy. Jesus is eating. What did Jesus get out of Calvary? I'm out of time. I'll tell you what he got out of Calvary if you'll say amen. He got him a bride out of Calvary. He got him a bride. He's got something to munch on. And here I am. Hand me a plate full of grace. Give me a cup full of mercy. Give me a little bit of the loving kindness of God. I get to eat around the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. I got to close down. Asa. Hold on. I got to get my glasses on. Preacher, I need about one more minute. Asa. He hath done this. He hath hath done this. It is finished. Excuse my bad grammar. We ain't got no idea all he did on that old rugged cross. But Psalm 22 gives me enough to chew on, gives me enough to munch on, gives me enough to enjoy till the next time we get together. Hallelujah. You're going to have to help me. What a Savior. I need you to do better than that. What a Savior. What a Savior. Could we stand? Could we stand, preacher? Is that all right? Could somebody play something just for a minute? I want to invite you. You don't have to come. There'll be no pressure on anybody to come. Somebody get on your knees. If you're prone, if you feel that nudge, get on your knees. Thank him he became a worm. Thank him he became the tolah. Thank him he shed his crimson blood. Thank you for the food he's provided you. Thank you for the fact that he washed away our sin. Love him. Just love him. Just adore him if God moves you tonight.